You have arrived at your destination.
Oh, Trey, coming in hot with your Happy Holidays non-dairy creamed Speedway coffee. Trying to cut that dairy out of your diet, I see.
I just think it tastes better.
Yeah, I feel that. I'll tell you what, the other day, so do you know, like, okay, so I usually get the French vanilla Coffee Mate. So at work, there's always free coffee and free stuff. And I get French vanilla Coffee Mate, and I have for like years. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even like coffee creamer anymore. Like, this is bogus. And then the other day, I tried the original Coffee Mate. Dude, it blows the French vanilla out of the water. I'm like, why did you even make another one?
Yeah, I don't.
Why
like
bother to make a second one?
I've never been into the like flavored creamers.
Yeah,
like, it's too sweet.
Original Coffee Mate just knocked it right out of the park first try.
Hazelnut was my jam.
Yeah,
and then I tried the Italian sweet cream.
No, man, I'm not getting that far into it, bro.
It's fancy, man.
Italian sweet
it's
cream.
Fancy.
I'm too white trash for that, man.
But I mean, when it's seasonal pumpkin spice, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Pumpkin spice everything.
You're a big pumpkin spice fan?
I love candles.
Yeah.
I do. Like my house, if you walk in, it smells like the candle section of Walmart.
Oh, yeah?
You know? Oh, God.
Well, what about the flavor? Are you a pumpkin spice flavor fanatic, too, when it comes out?
Just the smell.
Just the smell.
Yeah.
Well, I got banana bread brewing right over here.
That's sick. I was smelling some good.
Scent warmer. You know, we gotta set the ambiance here at the Smithsonian. So, are you a pumpkin spice fan? What
I
about
like
you,
pumpkin
Robbie?
Spice. I do like pumpkin spice.
I'll tell you.
It hurts me to admit that, but
we're basic bitches.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For me, it's like when fall comes around, I'm all about when they put apple out, and I feel like apple's the unsung hero of fall because I'm like, I'm gonna have apple cider, I'm gonna have apple pie, I'm gonna have apple flavored this.
Have you ever had apple cider donuts?
Oh my God,
game
no!
changer.
But I have apple fritter. It's my favorite donut.
Fritters are
so
awesome.
That would be a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Well, Robbie, I'm so glad that you joined us today because this just changed my life.
It did.
For the better, I feel like.
We got some last weekend from some pumpkin patch in Shelbyville, and it was...
Where are you from, Robbie?
Are you
from a pumpkin patch
I'm
in
from
Shelbyville?
A pumpkin patch. No, I'm from Fairdale, actually.
How
Fairdale and now in Shepherdsville.
Now
so,
in Shepherdsville.
Yeah, I moved a little.
Home of the world's most awesome flea market.
It is the most. And Cart Country.
Yeah, dude. I do.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I have
that
some
place.
Tickets to Cart Country in my wallet. I've kept them for a few years, but Kevin Fletcher's wife has her birthday party at Cart Country quite regularly. So
oh, really?
I save them, and every year we go.
Man, I haven't been in years. I always forget about it.
I drive past it every day, and there's a big volcano that I always want to go play golf at, but I never do.
Yeah, the best part about Cart Country is, like, you know, now that you're an adult, you'll realize, like, there's, like, a path that you can just, like, veer off the road and do a shortcut, like Mario Kart style, to get ahead of everybody.
Can you throw the turtle shells and everything?
Dude. No, but it's, like, we get, like, everybody's, like, frowning upon our racing because we're just, like, taking all the shortcuts or we're, like, strategically bumping somebody, trying to get them off the road. But, yeah, Cart Country, guys. Even more fun in your 30s than
oh,
it was
absolutely.
When you were a kid.
I guarantee it. I kind of want to go now.
I know. Get the cheetah carts.
All right, guys. Right after this, as soon as the podcast wraps, we'll get in our golf carts or go karts and we'll go to
I'm
Cart
down.
Country.
I'm heading that way anyways.
There you go. All right, guys. But this isn't just the Cart Country and Pumpkin Spice podcast. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast. And today in the Smithsonian, I'm talking to Versus. I've got Trey here. I've got Robbie here. And guys, thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you.
Thank you for asking us.
I feel like this has been a long time coming. We've talked about this, Trey.
Yes.
We've basically tried to get on the same schedule for months, but now
hard.
We're doing it.
Yes.
It might be at the last minute, but we are freaking here, bro.
Absolutely.
It is.
It was tough, man. My schedule, and I'm sure yours is too. It's just fucking bonkers.
Well, Trey, you stay busy, it seems like, man. You got Versus. You guys got a new album that's coming out on Friday. You've had a couple music videos that have already mm-hmm. dropped. You got a huge album release party, and you're booking and bartending, and you're doing everything for the Tiger Room as well.
Yes.
So you must stay busy, brother.
And tired.
And tired.
Hence why I drink Speedway coffee.
Yeah, dude. The best $1.99 of my day.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, and I think after so many, you get one free. I can't remember how many. So, oh, yeah. They know me by name every time. It's the same Speedway.
They don't even need a Speedway card anymore. They just nut straight.
Yeah, Trey's got a gold Speedy Rewards card.
It is, man. It's like clockwork. I do it all the time.
My Speedy Rewards is actually an American Express.
And, yeah.
They know me. Well, dude, I was going to ask you here, too, about the Tiger. Before we get into verses and everything you guys are doing, because the Tiger Room, I went there a couple weeks ago to see the Fever.
Yeah.
And, man, that venue is amazing. I love going to see the shows at Trixie's and have for a long time, but... And we were kind of talking before the podcast started, like sometimes it has a stigma to it because it is a gentleman's club or an adult club. Yeah. But now it's completely sectioned off so you can still enjoy your rock and roll.
That element is still attached, but it's divided. There's like a doorway in the middle, like a threshold that is now strictly 21 and over. Mm-hmm. So if that is your choice, you want to do that, by all means you can go over there, but if not, there's a wall there. And honestly, I mean, even like Terry Harper, like the first show we did there, we were sitting up in the VIP because we now have a balcony, which is sick. Love it, you know. And we were up there and he was like, you know, for a moment I almost forgot this was Trixie's. And I was just like, man, that's sick, you know. I love Trixie's, I love the history, but times have changed and it's like we have to adapt, kind of, you know. The laws aren't really conducive to adult entertainment, haven't been for like 8-9 years, so right. Like everyone's been, you know, kind of, you know, like, what am I gonna do, how are we gonna do this? And you know, I'm not trying to point fingers or anything about other clubs, but like we try to do it in an honest manner, you
right
know, some clubs, not all, but you know, either drugs or prostitution, and those are things like we are against. We are a family owned and operated club, so
absolutely.
It's like I remember when my dad was alive, you know, one of my mother's biggest peeves was like, if I ever catch anything like that in that club, we will get a divorce, you know, like, and they were happily married, like no problem. It was
right,
one
yeah.
of, like, I couldn't believe it, you know. And a lot of people would be like, if I would talk about it, they wouldn't believe it because of the nature of our business, like,
right.
Oh, we're just bad people, you know, and all that stuff. I'm like, no, I had a great upbringing, went to Catholic high school, you know, like everything like that. But you know, we've always stood held our ground against, you know, like those things,
right.
You know, so like this is our way of doing it in an honest manner, like doing concerts, you know, stuff like that. And let's face it, there's not many venues in Louisville right now, at least for that size of room, you know. It's about a 400 cap room now. It's gone up, you know, with the wall being removed and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, you got Mercury Ballroom Headliners, which is like 850, 900 cap space, to like Bourbon Hall now is 1500, and then Palace, I want to say, is like 2500. Mm-hmm. So there's not many of the smaller venues in town. So like, and local bands need places to play, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is it's more than just a place for like a local band to play, because it is legit, like to the... So basically, I guess to kind of talk about the club itself, like, I guess there is probably a stigma with it being, having it be an adult entertainment venue for a long time. But if, for anybody that went and saw a show there, they know that the sound is kick ass. Like, the stage is amazing.
You.
Like, that is a great place to go see awesome club bands, you know.
Thank
what I'm
you.
Saying
thank you.
It's not somebody's basement, it's not, you know, Spinelli's downtown, you know what
right.
I'm saying, like,
yeah.
It is a legit concert hall now that it's separated. Like, people are going to be able to get all those kick-ass shows without having to have any hang-ups about
yeah.
what the stigma is, about what they think, you know. I'm sure most people are probably like, oh yeah, that's probably you were talking about it being like a family-run business. I'm sure mostly the stigma might be like, oh, there's just some like gangsters or something.
Well, it's
like
funny
that,
you
that,
say that, because like,
you know,
when
some
like,
mafia thing or something.
No, that's exactly when we say, you know, family-owned, and they really do. Even the Metro Council for Louisville, when they passed the ordinance against nudity, because like, if you're not aware, people, there's no nudity in Jefferson County. It hasn't been close to 10 years, you know,
right.
And it went from being fully nude to straight bikini bar, you know. And
yeah.
that's like telling Pizza Hut you can't sell pizzas. What the fuck do you do, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I remember the first day that you couldn't go nude anymore, I could have laid in front of our front door and not gotten walked on. Like, it was immediate death, you know. So like, it just, Shit, what was I getting? I lost my train of thought. Where were we?
But yeah, basically, I mean, you have to do what you got to do to keep the doors open.
Yeah, we got to do what we got to do. But like with the stigma is what I was getting at is, you know, we're starting to promote the Tiger Room over. We started our own page for that reason because there were so many people on these posts when we announced like Comeback Kid. We announced we had Comeback Kid coming, and so many of those scene kids were like, I'm not going there, this needs to be at Spinelli's, yada yada. And Terry, love him to death, and this is as much of a baby as it is for me, you know, because he's been there from the start of it, and we've both worked hard together. But he'll be like, have you even been to a show there? 9 out of 10 times they're bashing it and they've never been, you know, they just like, and he was like, you should really try. It's not that bad, you know? And we still have it. We're about 60 to 65% done with the actual renovations. We still have a little road to go. It's just been baby steps right now. So, but once it's all said and done, if it goes through our full vision, I'm going to be super proud of it,
man. Like I said, the venue is already awesome. Now, like, all the stuff that, all the stigma, all that can just be pushed aside, because now there is no excuse to not go to the Tiger Room and check out a show. It's an amazing sounding venue. We played at Trixie's several years ago when I was in Uh-Huh Baby, for like a derby thing.
The Ron Jeremy party.
When Ron Jeremy was there. But, you know, at first I was like, oh, we're playing Trixie's. This is kind of a novelty thing. And then you get there and I'm like, this is like the best sounding on stage.
Mike
like,
is good,
great
man.
Monitors, great everything. And then I'm listening to all the other bands after. I'm like, this is a fantastic sounding venue. It kicks ass. Like,
hell,
it's got
a
great sound. So now, guys, if you are listening, there is no excuse to not go to the Tiger Room. It's going to be, to me, it's the best venue for a band to play, because, you know, it's a legit club venue.
Thank you.
With legit sound, and it's great for not only the audience, but it's great for the bands that are going to be playing it too, you know?
Absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of people that work there are part of the music. So it's like, it's just like a bona fide rock bar. Like, it's weird. So you'll see some familiar faces for sure.
It's so funny because it reminded me, even seeing shows there, I was like, man, it kind of reminds me of like this Toy Tiger feel. And you were telling me that there is a connection there between Toy Tiger and Tiger Room. Mm-hmm. What is that connection? Tell the listeners.
Well, my parents have owned Trixie's since 83, 84. And prior to that, my dad started the Toy Tiger. He was the originator. He designed the infamous logo.
Right.
Like, we still have the original blueprints, believe it or not.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
But it's funny because it was between calling it the Toy Turtle or the Toy Tiger. And we have two different blueprints, one with the turtle doing the same thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, not many people know that. But a lot of people also don't know that the owners of Trixie's owned or even started it, because it's had multiple owners through the years. So, it's more or less, since we're kind of going more rock vibe, we still have the girls, like I said, it's a bikini bar and it's divided. It's there if you want it. If not, that's cool too. But it's more paying homage to my dad. He passed away a few years ago, and I'm like, I don't want to call it the Toy Tiger, because if you're going to do it, like I said, you better do it spot on, or you're going to get a lot of criticism. And I'm like, I don't want that weight. I would rather just kind of pay homage and do my own thing, but you know, hey,
carry on a tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
But not replicate it. Yeah,
exactly.
Not have to have the pressure of replicating it.
Exactly.
Because so many people talk about it. So many people have so many great memories. They've seen, you know, countless bands that were popular in the time of the 80s and 90s that come through there.
Absolutely. It was legendary. I mean, like, and even like a New Year's Eve this past year, Kid Rock, played the Yum Center, and he shouted out Toy Tiger at the Yum Center. It was sold out on New Year's Eve, and I'm like, no shit.
That's
and
awesome.
He did. But the funny story to that is, Kid Rock, one of the lowest paying shows he ever took on the come up was at the Toy Tiger. And he apparently, it was like he got paid $200 or $250 for the show, and he kept the contract for that show from the Toy Tiger, and he framed it, and it's hanging in his house supposedly. I've heard that from numerous people, and it's like as a remembrance of where he came from to where he is now.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's sick. You know, I'm like, man, that's tight, man. Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, Toy Tiger, man, I'm glad that the tradition is continuing here in Louisville. Awesome place to see a regional or touring band, or like the place to play if you're a local band, you know? So I'm glad
that
you're doing it, man.
Trying. It's not been easy.
Well, and also, too, I mean, it's probably not super easy because, you, like I said, you stay busy and you not only are running and operating this, you also have your own band. You've got Verses going on, too.
Music is my passion. It always has been. You know, like I started playing bass when I was 14 from a football injury because I was really into sports and I got hurt and they were like, I herniated two discs in my neck and he, not that you can never come from it, but he was like, look, you know, try something else, you right. know, like, you know, still stay active, but you need to find another hobby. Cause I kept going back for the same problem, you know? And I was like, I'll play music. My best friend at the time, Andy, who you might know Andy Russ. He's bartender at Tap Room now.
I'm not sure, but I'm sure you've seen the worst name to face recognition ever.
He's one of my childhood friends. He ended up being in Flaw for a little bit. He's been in a lot of bands. Like he's one of the sickest guitarists I've ever played with. But like we both started playing music together, and from there it just kind of. I never was a singer. I played bass. I didn't want to sing, and we had a singer in my first band, and we had a recording session booked at Mom's, and he last second was like, I don't want to do this. I don't know. I don't want to, you know. And I was the only one that knew the lyrics.
Right.
I was the only one that knew kind of how it was supposed to be sang. And I got thrown in a booth with like one day, you know, like I'm like, fuck. So like I'm sitting there and it was garbage. I was terrible. And, you know, but I, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get better at this. And I just decided to do that. And I was playing bass and singing, and then I just dropped the bass, and then here I am, you know, through the years, you know. Yeah. So it's weird how that kind of panned out for me, but I never initially wanted to be a singer. Never did.
Sometimes fate decides things for you.
I guess, man. But I'm glad it did. I do enjoy it, and I love getting better, because I even at my age, I feel like I just keep, you know, I push myself to new limits. And like the last CD Pyramid Dreams we did, I was really proud of it, you know. And I feel like Robbie was too.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know. And you know, but this new, I'm like, man, I can't believe we did that, you know. Like it just feels good, you know. And you know, I'm like, how are we going to do it the next go around? Yeah. You know, like, is it going to be as good? Is it going to be worse? Is it going to be better? How can it be better? You know, it can always be better. You know how that
right.
is, you know,
like, but you just have, you always
put out high, you know?
And the thing is, you put out the best work that you're like, well, this is the best we can possibly do. And then it's like, well, the next one's got to be better than
exactly.
that. How are we going to do that?
Yeah. It's a high, you know, we're proud of it. We put in a lot of work and shit. We've been through it the past few months.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So lots of ups and downs.
Yeah. Robbie, how did fate bring you into the Versus camp, man?
Well, I'm actually the only founder left in the band.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, me and one of my high school buddies, we played every band I've been in, he's been in. We, long story short, started jamming again. His wife wanted to learn how to play drums. So he reached out to me, said, hey, help me find a cheap, affordable drum set. Well, we helped get them a fairly cheap kit, and it ended up him calling me saying, hey, you wanna come jam? So, right. So I'm like, all right, cool. So that happened in August of 2015. We started jamming. We picked up a bass player. That kind of didn't work out that well, but we ended up meeting our current guitarist through that bass player. So it was just the three of us, me, my high school buddy, and that guitarist. And then we got Braden and Trey to come in around August 2016.
I think we both auditioned the same day.
Yeah, they were within a couple of days of one another.
Right,
And then we hit the studio in October to record with John at ARC
That's
Studios.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. How'd you get into playing drums? I'm a drummer too, so I got to talk shop, man, a little bit here. Can't just leave you out here, Robbie, without telling me your deets.
My music history is kind of in-depth. I started playing the trumpet back in fourth grade. I actually started playing a snare drum, but it's hard to make music with just a snare drum.
It's hard to be cool with just a snare drum.
I ain't farting on no snare drum.
Right, yeah, so it was awful. My parents wanted to kill me, I'm sure, from playing the snare drum nonstop in the house. So I switched to the trumpet, played it for a year or two, then picked up the saxophone and played it through high school and into marching band. And then ended up, I wanted to play football. You can't march and play football. So dropped out of the band. And then I started playing the guitar. And then played in a bluegrass band with my dad, and then played a rock band with the other originator of Versus. And then from there, I found out I like drums better anyways, and went back to my roots and started playing drums. So that was 04, 05-ish.
Glad you did. And then took
a long break, and it was 2015 when I started playing again. So I probably took an 8-year break or more.
So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that the next Versus album could have a saxophone solo in it.
Possible.
Is what you're telling me.
Possible, but I wouldn't
be opposed.
I did sell my sax I had to afford my inner monitors, because they're very expensive to get good ones.
Yeah. Well, guys, you were wondering, how are you going to top this? How are you going to make it better? I think saxophone. I just solved that problem for you. A yes. saxophone solo.
Yes.
Man, they're coming back big time, man. Like, Ghost just had a saxophone solo on their new album.
Dude, the Novelist has, I think their last album, they got a saxophone solo. Like, it's just big, long, sexy solo in the middle of this rock song. It's awesome.
People love it, dude. Mm. They want to hear that
sexy.
Careless yeah. whisper in their
no
ear
shit.
Of a saxophone. But yeah, dude, you know, I'm like, you're talking about pushing yourself every day, and you're talking about being like a multi-instrumentalist. Like, mm-hmm. I just played drums my entire life, and like, I just always played. That was always my instrument. I never got awesome at it, but I got like good. I had my style, and like, I felt like I did exactly what I wanted to do with it. But now I've been doing this podcast, and I live here in town and stuff like that, and I got the kit set up in the other room, but a lot of times it's like, it's so loud, or you get home at the end of the night and it's already dark, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't play this. So I've been taking up bass. I bought a bass, and I've been playing it for about a year, and then I just bought this guitar. I actually bought this guitar, guys, here's a big shout out to Sweetwater, because I bought this guitar from Sweetwater on Friday at noon, and it was at my house, delivered with free shipping.
And a bag of candy.
Yesterday. So Saturday.
Did they really send candy around Halloween?
They send candy with every order.
Yeah, I have the candy in the coffee table. But yeah, it took, so I ordered it on Friday around noon, and it came Saturday at 10 a.m. delivered to my house.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Free shipping.
That's pretty sick.
Big shout out to Sweetwater here.
I used to do musician's friend back in the day, but I've never been privy to Sweetwater. That's sick.
Now you got it. Now
candy,
you know, like,
man.
I do it just for the free candy.
Fuck this shit. The candy.
That's why I keep ordering stuff for
the candy.
So I can get the candy.
I got a sweet tooth.
So hence the name, I guess.
They always have Smarties in there. I like Smarties, and so does my boy. So
yeah,
Reese's Cups.
I already ate the Smarties out of my.
I guess they would melt. So.
But yeah, so I'm like taking up, trying to do something different, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny because I'm starting at square one with guitar. I have my Rocksmith PS4 game, you know, and I'm learning how to play songs on there. And it makes you feel, it really does make you feel accomplished. But I literally am starting at square one on like the guitar.
But, I mean,
it's tough.
You have musical background.
Exactly.
You should pick up on it. You'll do fine. Man.
Well, I've been playing bass for like the last year, because bass to me was a lot more of a rhythm instrument than
it is
like a guitar. And having the background playing drums, playing a lot of Rock Band, even, like, you know, the video game and shit. Like, you're basically just like, it's all about timing and hitting the right thing at the right time. So I was able to translate a lot of that on bass. So, like, I can sit around and noodle around on bass, but with guitar, all those extra strings, me having fat hands.
Yeah, no,
you know, it was difficult.
That's me too.
You should try playing a mandolin.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They're really small frets, really small strings. It's 8 strings, but on a neck like that, you know, inch and a half, 2 inches wide.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Could imagine.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the thing is like, always push yourself, and I enjoy it. I get so much joy out of just like doing something new every day.
Yeah.
And that's, listeners, let that be a lesson to you. I know I've mentioned this a lot on the podcast, but just like, do something new every day, and you'll realize like it's pretty fun.
Oh yeah,
and you're getting work done here.
Breaking the monotony, man.
Yeah, stay busy.
Yeah,
I think so many people's complaints on Facebook is just because they're bored.
Yep,
they don't have anything to do.
I mean,
just get a hobby, bro.
Yeah, really.
You know,
find
what I'm saying?
Passion, go for it. Yeah,
dude, Trey, I see that you're super into these 1990s ladies here on the.
It's the big hair.
You know, I was watching the Snickers commercial, and I was like, man, these really haven't changed one bit. Like, they're doing the same commercial.
Yeah, just updated it.
Yeah, yeah, just better camera, you know, and everything. But it's the...
But listeners, yeah, we're enthralled. I always like to play a little something in the background of the Smithsonian. And today I chose 90s commercials, volume 251.
You know what I just noticed? Your John Cena lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, dude, just like Krispy Kreme.
Just like Krispy Kreme.
I actually got that as a Christmas gift. So they thought it was great.
It's awesome.
But so not to interrupt the 90s commercials, guys, that we're watching here, because we did have a great one for Mrs. Buttersworth and Dentine and Hall's Snickers. But let's talk about...
That's crazy.
You have a new album that is coming out, and it's out on Friday.
Friday, yep.
One of the many reasons why we're chatting here today.
Absolutely.
It's called Stasis. Mm-hmm. Tell me about... the album. What were you going through when you were writing it? What are some of the themes that are on the album? What can listeners expect from it?
I've done a lot of recordings through the years and worked with a lot of different, you know, people, this one was probably the best experience of my life so far. Mm-hmm. Like we worked with Andrew Bayless. I'm not sure if you're familiar. He was in Life on Repeat. He's in Nine Shrines currently, but he's produced Siler. He did My Enemies and I. He's doing Picturesque right now. He did XXI. Mm-hmm. He did a Savage Hands. And we opened for Nine Shrines with Nonpoint at Mercury Ballroom. And he approached us afterwards, like, you guys are sick. You know, I want to work with you. And, you know, through the years, I'm not saying I'm a bitter musician, but like, I'm kind of like a rolly eyes, like, yeah, okay, I'll believe it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like whatever. So, but he kept emailing and was like, hey, here, I'm serious, you know, so he's sending his resume. And I'm like, you know, when it came down to it, we were like, we were debating on what Eric Hood in Nashville.
Yeah, there was a few.
Yeah, like we were wanting to go to a producer, you know.
Right.
And we decided to go to Bayless, and we went up there and did just one song just to see if we liked it. We didn't know.
Test the water.
Yeah, yeah. So we
went
up there.
Before you invest the thousands of dollars.
Exactly. And we went up there and did Landslide, and it was funny because he took the song we demoed with John at ARC, American mm-hmm. Recording Studios. Shout out to John. Super good guy, super good studio, go to him. But we did demo these songs, took it up there, and we were already like, yeah, we like these songs. These songs are so good. And take it to Bayless, and he just was like, yep. Shits on it. You know, like, he really broke it down and just like, yeah, like, I'm like, maybe the song wasn't that good to start.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know.
He
like,
produced the shit out of that.
He did. Boy, did he. He imported the MP3 into his interface and was like just diced it, like dividing the one single MP3, moving around the different tracks, reorganizing the song, and it just didn't make sense. Like when you would hear it played through, it was like, this sounds all chopped up, what the fuck is he doing? We're sitting there like, this isn't how it's supposed to be, you know. Right, like we're yeah. sitting there like, what the fuck? And like, in like, we were watching him do this for like 5-6 hours, and like he kept turning back to our guitar player. He's like, how are you playing that part? What's that riff? And he was showing him. He's like, cool. Turn around, he'd start, you know, diddling on his guitar or whatever. And we're like, what the fuck is going on here? And like, at this point, I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. You know, yeah. Like, I'm like, this guy don't know what he's doing. Then all of a sudden, like, at the end of the day, he's like, all right, we're going to do vocals tomorrow. And I'm like, but this song doesn't make sense because we were hearing the MP3 chopped up with new music over it. It just sounded like a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
So then he hit delete on the old song, and then voila. There's the new like structured Landslide. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds fucking amazing. Like, how the hell did you do that? And he's like, yeah, we're good. You want to go out for some drinks tonight? And we're like, fuck yeah.
Dude, studio so, magic.
Oh yeah. He's such a great guy. But then like when we did the vocals with it, it was just, you know, like I hear harmonies, but he was hearing harmonies that I wasn't hearing.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, like it was just awesome. And like, I don't know about him, Robbie, but like, I want to use him for everything else now. I mean, yeah. Like, it was amazing. As soon as we were done, I'm like, yep, we're coming back.
Dude, that's the mark of a truly great producer, man. It's like taking your work and your craft to the next level. I mean, you know, a lot of times the producer is just simply a guy that records you, you know, and like is able to make you sound good through the studio magic. But really, a real producer should be one that can give you input that will make your music as good as it possibly can be.
Oh, that's yeah. Right. And like, our songs weren't really formulated. Like, right. I mean, like, and I didn't really, I mean, we kind of knew, you know, but like, we just didn't realize how unformulated they were.
Yeah, sometimes you need that person that is going to give you direction, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he definitely did. I mean, it just really blew our minds.
Sometimes it's so easy to go so wrapped up in making your sound unique, your structures unique, that you kind of lose what a listener would want to hear, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for someone, especially non-musical someone, to listen to an oddly structured song and really catch on to what's going on. It's yeah. not an earworm, you know? So getting a more traditional kind of structure in a song, it's catchier, right?
And just having that third party that's going to be there to be like, all right, I'm an outside party. I don't have any personal investment into the writing, but as a listener, mm-hmm. this is what I hear, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. Let me critique it and make it to where, you know, it's cohesive and right. give you a little yeah. bit of direction and kind of give it a fresh listen, you know, because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, I'm sure you guys are like this, but listeners, if you've never been in a band, or if you've never written music, sometimes you just get all up in your own shit and you're so invested and you're like, this is the best ever and nobody can change it. And then you realize
you can't be that way.
You're a little bit, you're blinded by your own bullshit.
No, you cannot be that way. Yeah. I mean, you have to be open-minded, and we don't know everything. I don't know. You don't know. Nope. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, we just don't. And if you're open-minded and willing to let somebody work with you and be like, hey, try this, try it, man. You know, that's all you got to do. People don't be opposed to trying new things. Hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag try new things.
Yeah, try new things.
And speaking of trying new things, guys, I think we need to give a listen to a hot new track by Versus. We've teased you enough with some of the background deets. Let's go ahead and give you the jam right now, and we'll talk about it more on the flip side of this. But you've got a brand new song, well, a new song called Nerve, and you got a new music video for it, and we're going to jam it here.
Hell yeah.
Quickly, give the listeners some details. What is Nerve all about? What are some background deets on Nerve?
It's pretty much just being like in a toxic relationship to where you... you're just complacent. You just, you know, you just let it happen. You just stick with it, even though you know you probably shouldn't. And one of the key phrases is every little word strikes a nerve, you know, and it speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, let's give it a listen, guys. This is Versus with Nerve.
Fall. Get over yourself.
All right, everybody, that was Nerve by Versus. And guys, during the break, we snacked on quite a bit of candy from Sweetwater. And we also watched a 90s commercial that I have to bring up. I have to bring up the topic here. So it was a Subway commercial, and in the commercial, they boat-cutted the bread. And I don't know, listeners, if you guys remember the boat cut, but back in the day, Subway didn't just, you know, cut your bread in half and then put all your stuff in it. They used to just cut like a big V out of the top and put all your stuff in it and then put that V back. And Robbie recently received a boat cut.
I did.
And I haven't received one in 20 years. Robbie, what did you think about it?
It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Unless you like thick pieces of bread in each bite, then you might like it. But I didn't. I like pretty even, consistent bites.
Oh, man. I can't believe it, dude. I miss the boat cut. I'm bringing it back. I miss the bowl cut. I'm going to bring that back. Just like Lloyd Christmas.
I had one.
Who didn't part their hair down the middle at some point?
Me, because I got an afro.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it wouldn't part. It just goes back together.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
I have a friend that basically when his hair is like always really tightly curled, but then when it grows out, like after it grows out a little bit, it's like straight.
Yeah. I'll let you see.
Gotcha.
It's super thick and curly. Yeah. No bueno. No parting for me.
What's the longest you've ever had your hair?
It's probably as long as it's been at top right now.
Dude, you ever? Look like, if you grew it out, you'd look like Hyde from that 70s show or something
so,
like that.
So I don't want to bring it up, but I will, for the show. I dressed up as Richard Simmons once for Halloween, and I let it grow out. And it might have competed lengthwise with this, but it was just huge, and I had the tall tube sock. It was bad. Never mind.
Sounds like you knocked it out of the park.
I did.
And you had the best costume ever.
I could have competed as Bob Ross, too. It could have went either way.
Bob Ross.
Dude, what a happy little accident.
There's
just take that brush and beat the devil out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Since we're snacking on Laffy Taffy here, what are some of your jokes that you got?
Man, mine are disappointing. I feel like I've heard them before. What did lunchtime speed by?
Why did lunchtime speed by?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Why did lunchtime speed by?
Why? Mm-hmm.
Because it was fast food.
Oh.
Yeah, that's whack. What a taco's favorite dance?
What's a taco's favorite dance?
Oh, man.
Look, here's the deal. I'm not going to spoil this, but yesterday I had a Laffy Taffy, and those are the exact same two jokes. So that just blew my mind.
It's like a fortune cookie. All right, you get the same fortune.
What's the answer?
Okay, say it again.
What's a taco's favorite dance?
The cha-cha? I don't know.
Salsa. The salsa.
Oh, man. I should have got that.
That's great. Here are mine. What type of bug has good etiquette? A ladybug.
Oh.
What do you call a lazy bull? A bulldozer. And guys, that's what you get with all these all the leftover Halloween candy.
I love cheesy jokes.
Sweetwater candy.
Yeah, from Sweetwater.
Yeah, Sweetwater.
So they did send me a bunch of old man candy. Banana Laffy Taffy, Bit of Honey, Tootsie Roll. But
Breath Mint,
that was crucial. I actually had an Atomic Fireball before you came here because I was like, I want to make sure my breath is cinnamon. Cinnamony. So
hell yeah.
Now butterscotch. What would you done if there was butterscotch?
Yeah, just
in there
a bunch
too.
Of Werther's originals in here. maybe their clientele are older, but whatever, man. Keep me satisfied, I'm telling you.
I remember this commercial.
Dude, what do you want on your tombstone?
Is that what this is?
Yep. And he says pepperoni and cheese.
I fucking remember this.
Yep, dude, nailing it with the 90s commercials.
Oh my god.
But yeah. Hey, so we just listened to Nerve, ladies and gentlemen, by Versus. They're enthralled in the Tombstone Pizza commercial. But you do have a music video out for Nerve, and I wanted to speak on that too, because I have seen it and it is quite awesome. Very
thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you.
What are some of the details? Like, where did you guys film it and who did you like? How did it all come about?
We shot this video and the Landslide video with a director named Andrew Robinson, who is sick as shit.
Yes.
I mean, like, he is so good. You
very
tell
professional.
Him, you give him a script idea and he'll take it to the next level. And professional, I mean, he's on time. If he tells you we're going to be doing it from this time to this time, it's from that time to that time.
Right.
And his turnaround is ridiculous. ridiculous. I mean, like, for the amount of work put into that, we got it, what, back in within a week, like, first edit, you know? I mean, it was crazy, you know? And he just does quick turnarounds. And he typically does a lot of hip-hop artists in town. And the video that kind of sold me on him was a rapper named Joey Marini. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's really good. But there was a video for his single, Insane, and it was, like, pretty much just a house party, but the house looked like it was on fire.
Oh, man.
And I was like, that is awesome. Like, right. And I'm like, did you all really set your house on fire? Like, how'd you do that? You know? And it's like, no, that was Andrew Robinson. He's really good with CGI and shit. I'm like, that's sick. And with our first video for Landslide, we wanted it to, cause we use the same leading actress. Cause we try to tie in, if you couldn't tell, well, I don't know if you've seen the Landslide video, it's Tracy walking around with this necklace, and it's almost like a weight that symbolizes a weight on her shoulder, and at the end of it she takes off the necklace and throws away, and everything just is lifted, you know? But we wanted it to kind of look like a storm cloud was following her wherever she went, you know? Right. And that's why I was like, can you do this? Can you make it look like it's raining on her, even though it's not raining? Yeah, I can do that. I'm like, sick. So, but with the Nerve video, we decided to use her again. We wanted to tie it in because we never really discussed in the Landslide video what she was going through to feel that way.
Right.
So we thought that would be a cool, almost like that was going on in her mind. This is why she was feeling that way. So, like, in the very beginning of the sequence, you see her boyfriend putting that necklace around her. So it's like a subtle little, like, Easter egg, you know, that we were trying to pull. And I think it came out pretty sick. I'm happy with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's neat. The video looks amazing. I mean, it's very awesome quality, and all the acting and the action shots, everything's super well done. You guys look crazy good.
Thank you.
So, that was Robbie. Yeah, Robbie looks sexy.
Dude, Robbie, you look great, dude. Your hair looked amazing.
I bring the heat.
I bring the heat. That's what's up. Yeah. And Trey, dude, you're just making it happen up there.
Look great, man.
In that video, man.
You want to know what his nickname is?
Oh, yeah.
Karate Kid.
Yeah.
He's got a whole lot of gestures.
Okay, if I'm holding a mic, I tend to do the Michael Jackson and grab my dick a lot when I scream. Like, I don't know why I do it. I just do it. I'm like, I guess because I'm screaming balls literally. I don't know. But, like, when I don't have a mic.
You got to hit those high notes by grabbing your package.
I tend to do, like I'm chopping boards. Like, I and I don't know why. Like, I've, like, watched myself, and I'm like, why the fuck am I doing that? Like, I couldn't figure out anything else better to do with my hands. Like
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, like, what am I doing? I am a robot. It's just, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think it goes perfectly fine with what you guys got going on, because it's got a very, like, kind of 90s metal kind of sound to it. At least to me it did. So I'm like, yeah, it fits along perfectly, man.
Hell yeah, man.
Not something different than, you know, not too far from, like, something maybe Fred Durst would do on stage, you know, with those karate chops.
Said Fred Durst.
All you need is
At least I'm not wearing a red hat.
That's a great compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we'll just keep rolling with it.
Hot dog flavored water.
Chocolate starfish.
And a hot dog flavored
water. Dude, man, Limp Bizkit, what a weird band that got huge. Like, I'm pretty into their first album, but, like, even the music is so weird.
Sick, dude.
And then
that's an ongoing debate between was it me, you, and Cody talking about that?
I hate chocolate starfish. I fucking hate it. I think
Significant Other was better.
Yeah, it's the jam.
Significant Other was good, but $3 Bill Y'all was.
Faith is the only good song on there.
No,
man.
Dude, you got Stuck, Counterfeit, well, Stuck. Okay. You got Sour, Leech. I mean, that album was just raw. Pollution. Oh,
look at
man.
That toothbrush. Did you see that? It looked like a comb.
It looked like a comb. There's like four bristles on this toothbrush. But yeah, I'm a big fan of like the 90s new metal, like late 90s, early 2000s new metal. So I dug it. I dug Nerve 100%.
Yeah.
So
hell yeah.
It's
Thank
cool
you.
For me.
Thank you.
And I'm excited too because, listeners, the album will drop on Friday. It is called Stasis.
Yes.
And on Saturday, Madness will reign at the Tiger Room.
Absolutely.
Because you guys have an awesome, super stacked lineup for your album release show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give these kids the details about this album release show.
Well, I feel like, I mean, this scene has a lot of really good talent.
Yes.
Like, it really does. So, like, when it came down to it, like, there's a lot of bands on it. What is it, six? And, like, we wanted to add more because, like, we're all friends with everybody. And,
sure.
Like, it felt like flip the switch. They're like, we really like those guys. We wanted them on it too. And Gallifrey Falls, they broke up. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to have been on it. And unfortunately, their last show, I think, is this coming no, it's next Tuesday. But if we really wanted to put everyone on, it would have been like a fucking 10 band bill. You know what I mean? Right. You just can't do that. So it was just like, fuck, who do we get? But it has a Foxbat. Yeah. Which I mean, they're probably our favorite local band.
My favorite.
Yeah, they're just so sick.
And well, they're one of my favorites too. But I'm also biased because Joe, their guitarist, edits this podcast with me, and Clay is my neighbor. He lives just one block away.
Oh, so he's gonna hear this?
Oh, he'll definitely hear it.
Hey Joe.
Hey Joe. Hey Clay.
We listen to you guys on the road a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, you got Foxbat.
Yeah, we got Artica. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're sick. They're really sick,
guys. If you haven't yet, check out my Foxbat episodes. Check out Artica's episode. Yeah, they're great.
Andrew told me he did your all's podcast like right off the road. He was like, we didn't get in town till like 2 or 3 a.m. and then he was like, can you do it at 10 a.m.? He was like, so we just stayed up and came to the podcast.
Yeah, dude. They knocked it out of the park. I love those guys.
Yeah, Andrew's a good cat, man.
What's that song? Cloak and Claw? Is that what it's called? Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah, it is a good song. Yeah, they're super talented, mm-hmm. man. They got it going on.
Andrew just tagged me in a post about Poppy. Do you know who Poppy is on YouTube?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the troll. Showing I got a 2-year-old, Poppy the troll.
From Trolls?
From Trolls, yeah.
No, it's this creepy YouTube channel, and we'll go down that rabbit hole later after the podcast wraps. But just look up Poppy, and it's this girl that makes a lot of weird videos, and now she's a singer. And she makes music that's also really weird.
That's fascinating.
Is it good weird?
Yes, it's awesomely weird. Oh. But maybe it's because you watch 300 insanely weird videos before she ever had a music career, and you're just brainwashed at that point.
Fair enough.
But he just tagged me in it because he's also a Poppy fan as well. But yes, you got Artica, you've got Foxbat.
Foxbat, we got Soft Spoken. Yep. Which I haven't really met those guys yet. It's one of, I know Artica's getting ready to hit the road, and that's their tour buddies for the run, and that they're
very good.
Send off is the CD release show, mm-hmm. and I didn't really get to listen to them till a couple weeks ago, and they're really freaking good.
Man, I want to get them on the podcast because they just got off the road doing a little couple weeks with Foxbat also.
Yeah,
I hear so much about them, and I got to get them on the show.
They're good, man.
Soft Spoken, if you're listening, if you're freaking listening, bros, on the show right now.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. So just see if they'll do it on the 10th.
We'll see what's up. Yeah.
They'll be in town.
I'll be there. I'm sure you'll be there. Yeah, Soft Spoken, you'll be there.
Yeah, we'll
make
there.
It happen.
Do it.
And then, Summer Youth also.
Yeah, but I was just told Kevin won't be doing it. He's not. Clay's going to be doing the vocal parts. I don't know if what happened, but I know he's not out of the band, but I think he had an emergency or had to go somewhere, but Clay's going to fill the part, which will be interesting to see Clay.
Yeah.
Do two sets.
Hey, man.
You know?
This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, bro.
Yeah. So, do it. Clay from Foxbat's going to be singing a set for Summer Youth.
And then we got a Rumor of War.
Rumor of War,
too,
I can't forget those guys, man. They're such good guys, man.
They're the hardest-working band.
They are
probably
the hardest-working band. They're talented. They've got the hunger. Austin is a little weird.
Big shout-out to Austin.
I love Austin, man. He's a cool kid. He has some good vape juice, too.
Oh, there you go. Shout out. We're going to get this Smithsonian cloudy with vape.
Have you had them on yet?
No, I haven't. We'll have to get them.
Man.
I think I saw, I actually caught them at, I can't remember who I went to see, but I caught them at a show at Trixie's. They opened for, I can't remember who they opened
Born
for.
Born of Osiris. They did Boo. They did the Boo show. They did, what recently did they do? They did, Gallifrey did Gideon.
You won't feel a thing, did Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, they're another good band.
I can't remember, but they seem like great guys. So, a Rumor of War?
Yeah, they
are. You're next on the list.
Yep. Yeah, you should. They're,
make
they're
it
good
happen.
Kids, man.
Dude, this is going to be a super stacked, awesome show. And what I love most about it, guys, you're going to get the best bands in town, and you're going to get it at $10 advance ticket, $12 day of show, mm-hmm. or you can get the VIP package, only $15. It's going to get you all the awesome bands, but it's also going to get you a copy of Stasis.
Yes. And not to mention, you get the VIP perks of the Tiger Room. You'll get discounted drinks, you get re-entry, you get, all of the club perks on top of the CD, so it's actually worth it.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what I'm going to get.
Yeah, it's...
Do you have VIP guest pass?
Actually, our guests do get VIP.
Oh,
so
perfect.
There you go.
So there discounted drinks.
Yeah, it's a good deal. A lot of people don't understand that with VIP there. It's you get... the beer's not cheap, but for music venues, that's where music venues make their money. Liquor,
Because
shows cost a lot to put on. But you save a substantial amount of money, so do it. Yeah. I just spoiled my own business.
You did.
Get those $15 trinkets, bro.
Trade secrets.
Shit. Yeah. Let me take that back.
And support Versus by getting their album, bro.
Please.
And that's sound scanned sales right there. You guys are going to be chopping the, topping the charts just from the VIP passes, bro.
They just want free drinks.
Yeah, no shit. They're like,
cheap drinks.
They're
cheap
like, drink. Oh, cool. I got a Stasis beer coaster. Sweet. Yeah.
But dude, speaking of expensive drinks at concerts, I once, I saw Motley Crue and I paid like, $15 for a Blue Moon once. And I was like, dude, it's at Motley Crue, whatever. And honestly, it was like the best beer I've ever had in my life because it was like tall and it was poured out of the side of a truck, like a tap, just like on the side of a truck.
Ooh.
It was ice cold. And I'm a big Blue Moon fan anyway, but this like for some reason like had just like a magic taste to it. But I one time went and saw Killswitch Engage and Let Live, and I walked up to like the little beer vendor or whatever, and I was like, yeah, I'll just have a High Life. And they're like, okay, cool. So I got a Miller High Life. It was $18.
Oh, my God.
Was it just a bottle? Or
it was
what?
A can. It was like a tall can, and it was
$18. God. That's what I don't get. Like, when I'm bartending, people come and be like, because our domestic bottles are six. And
right.
$6? I could go get a six pack for almost that, you know? And it's just like, oh my God, like, do you not understand the cost to this? Like, we don't get the door. 90% of the time that goes to the artist performing on stage.
Right.
Like, so that leaves nothing but the bar sales for us.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of people, and that's why you see so many music venues come and go,
right,
is because of that. And there's some venues that charge way cheap prices for beer, and I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, for me, like, if you're gonna go out and have a drink, it's always gonna be more expensive than if you're at home and having a drink. And that's because you're out and about, you're with your friends,
you're
seeing a show.
Yeah, you're paying for the ambiance, the entertainment. Yeah,
so,
absolutely. And a lot of people don't really understand because a lot of people aren't either
in it. A lot of people
are
cheap.
A lot of people are cheap, but a lot of people don't realize, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people in entertainment do, people that run businesses do. So, I mean, like, I'm on both sides of the fence. I'm a performer and
a drinker.
And a drinker, and also do promotions and stuff. So it's like I've seen all sides of the coin, and it's definitely opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Well, man, here's the deal. Like, especially with entertainment, like, everybody, you know, you get into the music business and you, of course, want to support yourself. You want to pay your bills. You want to do this and that sort of thing. But I just think that maybe people have the wrong idea about, like, as like a fan or someone that goes to the shows, because like you said, like, they paid $10 and they're probably like, oh yeah, well, I'm paying $10. Yeah, that part of that $10 will go to the band, but the venue has to make some kind of money to stay
continue
open,
to bring out
to
your
keep
artist.
Bringing the bands in.
Yeah, a lot
you know?
Of people, and that's why there's so many venues. Like, when I see a new tour announcement, like, there's a lot of new venues that keep popping up on these like ad mats, and I'm like,
right,
where's the what? You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then next go around a year later, I see a different venue in that same town. It's not, you know, that one shut down already. And it's like, it's because you gotta make sure the venue makes money, or it's just on to the next. Or, and I mean, like, even like Louisville doesn't have a rock station like right now. I mean, there's no rock support at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it really isn't. So, like,
yeah, even didn't the Fox like merge with WQMF or something?
Yeah, and I'm friends with like Ian and Ian. Shout out Ian. Ian's awesome.
You're connected,
and,
brother.
He's a good guy. We did a lot of promotions out at the club with them, and like we still talk periodically. He's a good guy. And Shannon, the dude, he's a good guy too. But, you know, it's just not the same. WFPK is like, and it's a weird mix. You'll hear, you know, Led Zeppelin, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then Five Finger Death Punch. And then,
right,
like, that's about as new as it gets, is Walmart metal, you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
And it's just like, man. And I know, you know, they want to be playing more of the current, and, you know, but they don't have control over
that.
Well,
and
that,
the problem,
you know,
is, too, is like, this is one of the things that I like so much about my podcast, is like, I actually get to show the bands that I like and play the music of the bands that I like. So, if you want to get like a glimpse of like what Louisville music is doing, like, you can actually listen to the Sean versus Wild podcast and check out a band and check out their stuff. I feel like even the local stuff, like WFPK, you know, not to talk anything to them, but they have an audience of a totally different kind of genre. It's always like folk. It's some sort of folk rock or some
it
sort
is.
Of art rock or country western or Americana. It's not metal. It's not rock and roll.
And
it's not like punk or anything like that that we grew up in
liking.
You know?
It's definitely niche, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, like, that they're kind of like like they're the station and their venues that they use are the Zanzibars and the Headliners. Like they have that on lock, and I'm pretty sure the people that run it are affiliated or somehow connected. I don't know if they're part owners or something, but that's why it's weird. Like we get offered some shows that I'm like, shouldn't that be at like Zanzibar? And then like I'll occasionally see a show at Zanzibar. I'm like, why didn't we get that one? You know, right. It's very, very rare, you know, but it definitely is a divided scene in certain realms in that respect, you know, and it's like, I'm eclectic as hell. I like it all, you know, like from hip hop to country hip hop, up church, redneck,
Cowboy Troy, Big Rich.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like if it's entertaining, it's entertaining. Like seriously, one of my favorite artists is Riff Raff.
Oh yeah.
I fucking love Riff Raff.
He's awesome.
And like, is he the greatest rapper alive? Absolutely not. His lyrics hardly make sense, but he's entertaining as shit.
Yeah, you know, and that's the gimmick. Like, you got to understand, like, the art that he's actually doing. Like, he's not, like, his gimmick is, like, that he is just outlandish looking, and he just says outlandish stuff.
He's fucking hilarious, dude. We had him at the club, and I fangirled, and I hardly fangirl with anybody. I slurred my words, and he was cool as shit, dude. Took a picture with him. I was like, oh, this is going to be my Facebook picture.
Rip rap. Yeah, dude.
That's pretty sick.
I'm fangirling for you guys. That's why I've been slurring my words all damn day.
Oh, man. Slurring the words.
You're doing great.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. But, yeah, dude, you know, and that's the thing. That's why I'm so glad, just to bring it full circle, that, you know, our music scene here is thriving. And there are places like Tiger Room where you can go and play. I'm glad that, you know, there's a podcast like mine, or why I did this podcast is like bands can be showcased from the scene that I really love, you know?
Absolutely.
And I feel like with Tiger Room, like you could literally see maybe, you know, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to see like the next Motley Crue or something like that. Like that style of like just a rock and roll band or a band or a heavy band. The Tiger Room is where they would play, and you would, you know, that's where you would see them.
Yep. I think that would be the Fever, man. They're blowing up.
Dude, they're amazing.
Yeah, that show was nuts. They are so good, man.
Yeah. Jason's been a longtime friend of mine through Let Live and stuff like that. We recorded with the dudes in Let Live on our third album, and yeah, they're absolutely amazing. That was an awesome show. It's a great venue.
Oh, dude, they were so sick. But I kept watching the show. I'm like, these guys are going to be fucking huge. I mean, they're already big, but I mean, like, I could see them.
They were just on the soundtrack to WWE NXT.
Yeah.
Like, a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, man, that's... cross that off the list. You're the soundtrack to a wrestling pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing some of those people come through and you know, not all of them have taken the next level. Like Upchurch the Redneck, I mean, we can kind of joke about him, but I've had him at the club twice. And
he's huge.
He right sold now. Out twice. That's when he first started doing music. Yeah. Now he's doing like Bourbon Hall and close to Palace Theater. And I got him for pennies compared to what he's getting now. Like I try to get him for New Year's Eve. Maybe last year. And I was like, hey, what's up? Is he available? Well, we just got an offer in Pennsylvania for, I want to say that then it was like $16,000.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And they're like, can you beat that? I'm like, oh, never mind.
Can you beat that? It's like, no, I cannot. Have a great New Year.
Yeah, I'm like, have a good one. Enjoy that money, man. Yeah. That's crazy. But I mean, like, it's just nuts to see that. And like, we had Joyner Lucas.
Mm.
He's huge now, but like we had a date about a year ago and Terry offered me, you want it? And I was familiar with him and I was like, yeah. But it was a weekday and the guarantee wasn't huge, but it wasn't small. I'm like, I think I'll pass. And he was like, all right, man, you sure? I'm like, yeah. And, he ended up putting it at Diamonds and they did like 400 or 500 and I'm like, fuck, I should have taken that show. Well, now he's all over the new Eminem CD and this guy's like joined at the hip with Eminem now. He's fucking huge. And I'm like, God damn it. That was not even a year ago. Why? Right. You know, it's just crazy.
That could have been me.
Yeah. I was like, fuck, dude. Like, you know, but hey, hindsight's 2020, man.
But yeah, problems of being a promoter and a booker.
Yeah.
And all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But guys, as we kind of ride off here, we're at the end of the podcast here. Where can people find Verses online?
We are on Facebook, of course, and it's Verses with an E, V-E-R-S-E-S. Look us up. I don't know the actual
band
Verses on Facebook.
Facebook.com/bandverses.
And then we are on Instagram and Twitter at official_verses. So follow us, check us out. And I want to shout out Andrew Bayless. Love you, Andrew. And I want to shout out Cody Ash. Love you. And that's pretty much it.
Rock and roll.
Well done.
What about you, Lil Robbie?
What about me?
You got anything to, you got anybody you want to shout out?
Well, we've had a lot of overwhelming help and support through this whole path from people helping us collaborate, write resources. Mm-hmm. It's been a wild ride to get to this point. So I'm definitely grateful for all that. Definitely again, Bayless did a whole lot for us. Cody Ash has been helping us a whole lot.
Man, you're looking good in your skinny jeans.
Thanks, man.
Shout out, Cody
Thanks.
Ash.
Yeah. Thanks. You like my Siler hoodie? Dude, that's thing
is,
nice.
It, is it Siler or Sylar? Sylar. Yeah, Sylar. I think it's Sylar. He hates that. Yeah. I love saying it. But, oh, hey, and also pick up the new Sylar album, For Real Seasons. It is the tits. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. And, Cody, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, go ahead and get on this podcast. We'll talk all about it.
Do it.
He'll do it.
But, yeah. And, guys, don't worry. I'll have all the links to all the deets in the description in the show notes. So you will not want to, I don't know, you're going to not want to sleep on Versus. And, guys, definitely come out Saturday and check out the show. Saturday, that's November 10th. Yeah.
November 10th.
And, again, it's going to be $10 if you get that advance ticket, $12 day of show. But don't be an idiot and get that $15 VIP pass. And you're going to not only see Versus, you're going to see Foxbat, you're going to see Artica, Summer Youth, A Rumor of War, and Soft Spoken. And make sure you check out the video for Landslide. Check out the video for Nerve, which we just listened to earlier. Man, you guys got so much stuff going on.
Busy.
Yeah. Yeah,
keeping busy, bro. And if you like what you heard today, which something tells me you did, if you haven't already, like, share, and subscribe to Sean Versus Wild. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Stitcher. It's on wherever you get, you know, fucking podcast. It's 2018, man. It's on the internet, so there. It's pretty much everywhere.
Hell
yeah. Yeah, just Google it, man.
Knows.
Don't worry, I'll have that in the description too. But yeah, Lil Trey, Lil Robbie, and Lil Sean, we're about to go
get some face tats first.
Car Country,
and then go to Car Country right after that.
Taffy.
And then get a boat cut sub from Subway.
Legit.
Sounds like a date.
We're gonna have it. We're gonna make it happen.
A dude date.
Sounds awesome.
A long overdue date. But yes,
I see what you did there.
And we'll see you all on Saturday night at the Tiger Room. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean Versus Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.